Chapter 21. Carter. Considering how much time Emma has spent in my house lately, it's strange that I feel nervous about walking into hers. I want to see it, though. I want to know what she surrounds herself with, what makes her happy. Slowly, she's brought bits of herself into my house. Not things necessarily, but qualities. Like sitting on the floor, kicking off her shoes, and randomly rolling my spice jars around on the counter when she talks to me while I cook dinner. Frankly, I'm not certain if I'll be walking into an adult apartment or a modified children's playroom. It isn't that Emma is immature so much as the things she likes to surround herself with are ones I'd normally associate with a young kid. I climb the stairs to her apartment. I've been to her door, but never passed it. When I've picked her up, I've always been too focused on the woman herself to take time to look past her door. The other reason I'm somewhat anxious about tonight opens the door when I knock. I'm face to face with the most important man in her life, and I still don't know how I feel about that. I give him a nod. Jason?
Carter, glad you could make it.
Jason swings the door open and invites me in as if it's his own home. I automatically tow off my shoes beside the door as I'd taken the space. It's not at all childlike, except for the video game posters decorating the television wall in the living area. Even those are in frames, so there's a level of sophistication to them. Beneath the mounted television are shelves holding video games and video game consoles. On the wall across the room, decoratively spaced shelves hold several potted plants with long, viney strands of leaves draping over the sides. Between the walls is a green, comfortable-looking couch. Emma and Trina are sitting on it, game controllers in hand, leaning into each other as if they want to physically push each other onto the floor as much as they are trying to run each other's colorful, cartoon-like car off the road on the television screen.
Ha!
Trina hunches over her controller.
Eat turtle!
Emma groans and collapses sideways on the couch as the two cars roll under a banner that reads Finish. A large 1 and 2 appear on the different sections of the screen. Trina does a little victory dance in her seat before looking over at me.
Hi, Carter.
Emma flips over to look at me over the arm of the couch. Her lips curve into a shaky smile.
Hi.
I can read the word on her lips, but the sound doesn't reach me across the room. I smile back and come to stand beside the couch. When you said game night, I thought you meant board games.
Oh, I did.
She waves at the television.
We're just killing time until Michael and Victoria get here with the pizza.
She bites her lip.
Do you, want something to drink?
Sure. I follow her to the kitchen area, which is a long counter with upper and lower cabinets along one wall and another counter with cabinets beneath, separating the cooking area from the dining area. Jason is leaning against the island counter, thumbs flying over the screen of his phone.
Hey.
Emma points at him as she opens the fridge.
No work stuff. Game night.
He looks up from the phone.
How do you know it's work stuff? I could be texting a girl.
Her eyebrows are lifted in skepticism as she looks over her shoulder.
Are you texting a girl?
As it so happens, yes.
One that doesn't work for you?
He sighs, punches out a few more words, then slides the phone into his pocket.
Happy?
Of course.
She looks into the fridge and frowns.
I can offer you 5 kinds of water. When did we get old?
Curious what 5 kinds of water looks like, I come stand behind her and look into the fridge. Aside from bottles of regular water, there are 2 racks of cans in 4 different colors. Sparkling water? She nods.
Are you a fan?
I don't know that I've ever tried it, really. I take a note of the brand and flavor, though, so I can add it to my next grocery order. She pulls out a pink can.
Try grapefruit. If you don't like it, you can grab a bottle.
You don't have a cup I can just fill from the tap? I prefer filtered, but using a bottle seems unnecessary when I'm in a home. Jason shakes his head.
No cleanup on game night. Trash and recycling only.
I pop the tab on the can and give it a swallow. It feels like soda, and yet it doesn't at the same time. My taste buds don't know what to think about it. It's not awful, though, so I take another sip. What other rules should I be aware of?
What happens at the game table never stays at the game table.
Trina helps herself to a blue and red can of water.
Especially winner's bragging rights, Jason adds. But you can only keep those until the game gets played again.
Michael and Victoria arrive with boxes of pizza and introductions are made. I try to sit back and let the conversation swirl around me while we eat, but Victoria is one of those people who insists on equally including everyone in the conversation. Normally, I think it's a noble trait for someone to have, but tonight I want to observe and learn, not participate. By the time we box up the remaining pizza, I think I've gotten a basic handle on the personalities in the room and the connections. Michael and Victoria are dating and seem to be more Trina's friends than Emma's, though everyone is certainly getting along well enough. On the other hand, Trina and Jason are each better connected to Emma than anyone else. I can't remember the last time I really sat back and observed the dynamics of a particular group of people. It's something I used to do with Frank, as we talked about what sorts of paintings were capable of really displaying an idea people often lived with and recognized, even if they never consciously saw it. The skills are still there. Everyone pitches in on clearing the table and cleaning up. They all have their roles, and the whole thing takes approximately 4 minutes, so I stand to the side and watch it like a ballet. I expect us all to move back to the table to play whatever the game is meant to be, but instead they stream toward one of the doors that opens off the large open main room. I fall in behind the line and find myself in what can only be Emma's office. It's a full-size version of the controlled sort of chaos she creates each afternoon in my living room. If this is how she functions best, she must be giving up some productivity to be around me so much. Another large television is mounted in here, though it's used as a large computer monitor if the wireless keyboard and mouse stacked beneath it are anything to go by. Color is absolutely everywhere. From the Papasan chair cushion to the three different throw blankets to the sticky notes plastering the wall. For a person who makes their living with technology, she seems to utilize an awful lot of paper. My mind immediately starts adding up how many different pigments I need to put on my palette to paint the scene on canvas, even ones I do no more than dip my brush in the top of the tube to collect. I lose count after 14, because the group is crowded in and around the room's walk-in closet, and their game debate is growing louder. My 6'2" frame is easily the tallest in the room, so it's easy enough for me to see what's causing the commotion. The closet is an odd sight. One half is full of designer clothes and home decor items I would have expected to find when I first met her, but now know Emma wouldn't choose in a million years. The other half of the closet has an assortment of baskets and bins with masking tape labels that have things like cables, plates/cups, gift ideas, and mementos scribbled on them. I shift to see if I can get a peek in the mementos box. Also crammed on this side of the closet is a collection of board games. Trina is deepest in the closet, clutching a box for Trivial Pursuit, all but stomping her foot in insistence.
But we have an even number of people.
You just want to make it guys versus girls, Michael complains.
Well, yeah. What fun would it be otherwise? Fine, but I'm also taking this one as an option.
Victoria snags a pink box I can't quite read from a low shelf. Jason shrugs and pushes a shoulder into the closet.
If that's how we're doing it.
He pulls out a blue box with the name Telestrations on the side.
Are you planning on spending the night?
Emma asks.
What happened to our rotation?
Three people unanimously say,
It broke!
As one, the group leaves the closet and I step back so they can pass me on their way to the table. Emma falls behind and gives me a hesitant look.
You doing okay? I hadn't realized quite how loud we get before. I'm surprised the neighbors don't complain.
You're having fun at... I glance at my watch. 7 on a Friday night. I think you're safe.
True.
She lets out a large sigh.
But we're... You're good?
Yes, I'm good. I drop my arm around her shoulders as we follow everyone else. We are good. I like seeing you like this. It suits you, like your hooded sweatshirts.
Hoodies, old man. They're called hoodies.
And what do you think they're short for? She gives me a cheeky grin.
Adorable.
I have an almost overwhelming urge to pull her into my arms. To just hold her, at least for a moment. The desire to kiss her is there. It's always there, but I know once that happens, that'll be it for me. She keeps creeping into my soul in ways I didn't expect. Holding on to that last known quantity is my only defense. Although, in that moment, I don't know what I think I'm defending myself against. This is Emma. What else could I want? The idea almost knocks me sideways, and I let her slip away when someone asks her to grab a pencil and some paper for keeping score.
Of what?
Emma asks, even as she moves to her jumbled desk.
None of those games need it. Pies are not enough. I want statistics.
Trina calls. Out at the table, the chairs have been grouped on each long side instead of around the ends. The girls are on one side, the guys on the other, and the round board with its colorful squares sits in the middle. An hour later, I'm no longer allowed to sit on the outside and observe. I've been moved to the center seat on the guys' side, though the chair to my left is empty as Jason paces behind me and Michael. He occasionally grabs my shoulders as if I'm preparing to go 3 rounds in the boxing ring, but he's clearly excited by the new set of knowledge I bring with me. For someone who insisted on playing this game, Trina is remarkably uninvolved. I look over at her while Jason and Emma argue over whether Roosevelt is an acceptable answer, or the girls have to narrow it down by first name. She smiles and gives me a wink. Did she do this for me? As much fun as everyone seems to be having, the core of this game is Jason versus Emma. When the debate is finally settled and Emma is slipping her blue pie piece into her team's holder, I look between the two of them and ask, "Do you ever go to trivia nights?" Victoria snorts.
They got us kicked out of Pete's Pizza Parlor once because Jason argued that the facilitator's answer was wrong. Emma was sitting there scribbling backup points onto napkins and passing them over so he could keep arguing, and finally they just told us to leave.
That was actually the start of game night here, Michael adds. The guys win, although Trina's tally shows the girls answered more questions correctly. Good-natured bragging ensues on both sides as the game is put away, chairs rearranged, and new seats claimed, or rather assigned in this case, as Jason tells everyone where to go. I'm not complaining because he set me on one of the long sides of the table with Emma to my right. He claims the end of the table to my left, which makes everyone groan that it isn't fair. My only real concern is that Emma actually looks nervous as the game box is opened and spiral-bound dry erase booklets are passed around. Is everything okay? I ask in a low voice. I know this is my first time meeting her friends, but I'll kick them all out if she needs me to.
Of course.
Her smile is tight.
You said we're good, right?
Yeah. I search her eyes, but don't find a clue as to why she's concerned. Until the rules of the game, are explained. I get a card with a word on it. I then draw a picture to represent that word. Jason will look at my picture, flip to the next page, and guess what the word or phrase I drew is. He'll pass that to Michael, who will draw a picture based on Jason's guess. And so on it goes around the table. That means my pictures are going to Jason, and Emma's drawings are coming to me. While Trina might have been helping me out, Jason has put me in a position to fail spectacularly if I make a wrong step. What he doesn't know is that this professional artist has spent a lot of years interpreting cubist and abstract art. I actually understand what's happening in Nude Descending a Staircase. Both versions. As long as Emma's not as jumbled as early Picasso or vague as Pierre Mondrian, I think I'll be okay. And despite the fact that I prefer hyperrealism, I've studied and tried a lot of other styles as well. Dry erase marker certainly isn't my first choice of medium, but at least it's an ultra-fine tip. I do okay in the first round, passing Jason a decent depiction of Mount Rushmore. Emma's blushing as she passes me a picture of a stick figure holding a smaller stick figure that has a tree coming out of its leg and a flower coming out of its head. She's looking at me out of the corner of her eye, and I don't hide the booklet as I write, Mother Nature. Her mouth drops open.
How? Hey!
Victoria points her marker at us.
No looking. The fun is in the final reveal.
We pass the booklets around the table, and for this first set, I give Jason exactly what he thinks he's going to get. Victoria is correct in that the fun is flipping through the chain with everyone at the end. Mother Nature did not make it past Jason, who tried to draw a tree in a nun's outfit, but it looked more like a candy bar. I've gotten a good feel for how much time I can safely take with each drawing now, and in the next round, I draw like an old-world Baroque painter, giving Jason a picture so busy and with so much detail, he can't begin to know what to focus on. After that, I switch to a little abstract minimalism with stick figures and combinations of basic shapes. I try for cubism, but the lines bleed together too much, so I switch to the curves of expressionism. He kicks me under the table for that one. After I send him some comic book-style pop art, he throws his marker down. I surrender! No one else knows what he means, but I do. I don't care about impressing him. I'm here for Emma, and I've managed to guess every one of her drawings correctly. Even the weird blobby one that was a golf course, and everyone, Emma included, accused me of cheating to guess it right. When the night draws to a close, I won't lie that I don't relish the clean piece of my car as I drive home. But as I walk through my house, making sure everything is settled for the night, I can't help but notice how much it isn't like hers. As much of her as she's shown me the past few weeks, she's still holding back when she's here. And I want her here. At least, I think I do. But can I handle having game nights in my own space? Am I okay with cables going everywhere and colors that don't blend and enough throw blankets to weigh down a horse? There's only one way to find out.